There's all kinds of shit going wrong in the world today, as I say every week. 11 days until the election. It was the most sane conversation to, you hacked my phone. I really thought he had a problem mentally. He turns to me and says, you told me $100. I hit a nerve, something. I don't know. Because then it was, he forgot again how much he was supposed to pay me. I feel like I've been intellectually molested. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the During Business Hours podcast. It's been one hell of a week, and we're going to run you through a mindfuck, because I've been run through a mindfuck, and my wife has not been run through a mindfuck, so...
Yes, I have.
This is Kamala Harris's town hall, a.k.a. this week's mindfuck. Enjoy. Did you see that Eminem endorsed Kamala Harris?
I did. Did you see what Tom McDonald said about that?
Oh, yeah. Dude, him and Nova. God damn, congratulations, Tom McDonald. Your life is just perfect. Not that I envy you or anything. I just love that he's now like the white guy punching bag for everyone's problems.
He seems to be enjoying his life. So.
I know, but it's just hilarious. Like, I watched him on Hangover Gang, like starting sobriety, and I fell off. Most people fall off from their social media stuff anyway, but it was so funny that now he is this like political punching bag for all mediums, gay, trans, politico, Mexico. That, everyone hates him.
That song he did,
Miss Me?
No. With that guy who he has like a podcast type show that he does, very political, Jewish man, very. Probably far right, people would call him. What is Ben Shapiro? Is that his name? Is that who he did the song with?
Yeah, he did one with him. Ben Shapiro just did this 25 versus 1 debate with college woke college leftists.
I see another guy doing that all the
time. I watched the whole thing. That was crazy. I'm not a big Ben Shapiro fan. I think he articulates his... I'm not very articulate, but he articulates his point of view in a way that makes everyone feel comfortable that he's chatting zero shit.
Yeah.
You know, like everything is 100%.
I enjoyed his thing with McDonald, and then it was funny because like 3 days after the video dropped, he put out this speech like, all right, guys, like it sounded like he had some real news to share, and then it was basically that he's just retiring from the rap game. And is something about his name being Little Dreidel. Like, that guy's hilarious.
Little Dreidel on the beat. Apparently, an hour ago, Trump descends from Trump Force One to the Undertaker theme wearing a black MAGA hat. If you're a WWE fan, you understand. That is priceless. Wearing all black. I didn't know Robert Downey Jr. was against Trump, too. One that truly matters to all. Oh, it's all the fucking Marvel people. Yeah, well, he, not really for him, but he definitely said, what was it, that Kamala Harris is as smart as a fence post? Or no, her IQ is a fence post. Mel Gibson's batshit crazy. And I'm here for it. He was the original T. Like, he put the T in TMZ. Yeah.
Okay.
He was it. Early 90s, late 2000s. Look him up. He was the guy before people running naked through the streets, drunk or like, dude, he was the guy. You expected him to Robert Downey Jr. himself. He was banned from all his movies. Criticized, then he did the whole Passion of the Christ thing in 2000 whatever, and everyone's like, he's a neo-Nazi fascist, this, that, and the other. He's
a lot of bad juju that happened in the making of that film.
Sound of Freedom. Oh, I said it.
What does that got to do with
equal? Yeah,
what happened with Sound of Freedom that makes that equal?
It got banned from all major movie theaters in America. Then it got sued to high heaven to prevent it from its release. If they didn't independently put it out, it would have never seen the light of day. Ever. Because it was under so much legal shit.
Those are two different paths. That's not what I was indicating.
Here's the thing. Mel Gibson may have been a crazy person or is a crazy person. The movie was great. I'm not even religious. It was a great movie.
I'm not saying that either.
Have you seen Passion of the Christ?
I have. I went to the theaters and saw it. But okay. Like behind the scenes, it was like that Baldwin that just shot off a gun. Like when they were making it.
It wasn't even Alec's fault. It was the damn woke-ass armament lady with no license.
Passion of the Christ, and they have these prop whips that somehow somebody found a real whip.
And 2004. That
was actually getting hit. There was a lot of bad juju, and then like the religious people brought it back to you're not supposed to depict God and Jesus, and that's more or less retribution for doing so, that all these bad things happened during the creating of that film.
So apparently many critics claim that Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, is a violent movie whose main theme is not Christ's vision of Christianity, but Gibson's vision of violence in its own sake. A careful viewing reinforces the impression of and identifies aesthetic, contentual, and format-related flaws in the film, says JSTOR.org. Some found it to be anti-Semitic and graphic violence and extreme and emotionally draining. That is from Wikipedia of The Passion of the Christ. He says that it's just for his vision of violence for its own sake. I would say that time was probably very violent. The time of like Christ 000, whatever. Mm-hmm. That has to be one of the most violent times in human history. Because there's really no law. There's no order.
Yeah.
It's take, nurture. Hopefully your kids
live. Survival of the fittest, more or less.
Yeah, live past 3 months.
Somebody was struck by lightning during the Sermon on the Mount.
I could get to the... Hold on. Let's go to the... Let's not go to the things that are signs from above or like curses, because there's so many movies that happens to. Just that one with the demon in jail that I was talking to you about, that was just bashed by everyone because it was very right-wing, Republican-driven, mm-hmm. You know, the abortion film that happened right when everything got popped down. Again, two people on set got very injured by lightning strikes and a fucking lamp fell from the ceiling in a prison and struck somebody, paralyzed them, whatever it was. It was batshit crazy that people found God in that filming. Portrayed Jews in a film of anti-Semitic nature. Personally, it was a quintessential interpretation of the Passion. It was really that gruesome. No need to mince words. I mean, it really wasn't. The movie's based on the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich, not historical romance, Roman crucifixion. Even the flogging scene is far more brutal than what would normally happen. And from that way it's depicted, it would probably kill a person even without the cross. Even Pilate in the movie is shocked and at its irk. The main problem is the gospel authors themselves do not describe the physical torments. To them, it's what's most important is the psychological and theological aspect, the spitting, mocking, blasphemy, contrasted with Jesus' vindication and exaltation. The movie does not opposite and overly exaggerates the physical torture.
So, I mean, you make a movie about a good book. There's always going to be somebody with a hard opinion, like Dogma, Kevin Smith's Dogma. Oh, the religious people hated that.
It was so funny.
Blasphemous.
Yeah, but now you look at other Smiths. I'm just saying, nowadays there's all kinds of blasphemies.
Yeah.
Mommy don't know daddy's getting
bought. Oh my gosh. That's not even...
I saw a parody where it's like, Mommy don't know daddy's getting bought by the lobbyist.
Oh, no. Political parody.
Oh, political parody. But it hits home. It's so good. There's all kinds of shit going wrong in the world today, as I say every week. We're only... Hey, Siri, how many days until the U.S. election? 11 days until the election. So, of course, we have to touch on it, but I watched Kamala Harris give a word salad that I can't just be alone watching. So I told my wife that we'd watch it again together.
I already have a headache.
You're going to have a headache. It's Kamala. She's not my favorite person. I also found out that, you know, that video that we had shown before about, I don't know if you were in the episode, but Planned Parenthood behind the scenes where a guy is secretly recording. These Planned Parenthood people are talking about how they dispose of body parts of infants and or cells. They take
care of your needs no matter the timing.
And how they then sell those to people for testing or disposal. Do you know that that was in a time when Kamala Harris was the DA of California and she prosecuted those people while also protecting Planned Parenthood?
Interesting. She rode both sides of that fence?
Mm-hmm. Protected Planned Parenthood, prosecuted the individuals. No headlines. Kamala Harris is basically saying, you know, hey, people need to be locked up. Biden also called for Trump to be in jail again. That we got to lock him down. We got to lock him up.
Wait, and he spoke? I thought he just was laying down since Kamala stood up.
No. He went and talked where Barack Obama talked.
Oh, okay.
Campaign headquarters for Kamala.
I'll conclude this. We're in a situation where every five or six generations, we reach an inflection point in American history where the decisions we make in a very short span of time are going to determine what the rest of the next five, six, seven decades are going to look like. Not a joke. The decisions we make this election and the last election is going to determine what this country looks like for the next five or six decades. That is not a joke. That's a straight fact. There's not a single thing we've done. And we've passed, they told us we couldn't get anything passed. Well, Kamala and I got a hell of a lot passed. We got more passed than any president has in 4 years. But all of us on a knife's edge. It's on a knife's edge right now. And so this is really, 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 really an important election. And folks, look, think about it. He is talking about doing away with the entire Department of Education. He's talking, he means it. This is not a joke. This is a guy who also wants to replace every civil servant, every single one. Thinks he has a right under the Supreme Court ruling on immunity to be able, if need be, if it was the case, to actually physically kill someone who he believes to be a threat to him. I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up. Political document. Lock him out. That's what we have to do.
What do you think to that? Freudian? No, I don't think it's Freud. I just think it's fact. They tried to lock him up. There's no way you can look at Trump and be like, even if you don't like him, if God forbid you hate his guts, you think he should be in jail. You can't look at the situation and go, you know, I looked into the felonies. And I feel like that was fair. And there's just no way it seems like it would be something if he wasn't running for president, they would charge him with. Because why don't they go after Mark Cuban for the same thing? Why don't they go after any of the other people doing business in New York the same way? With the same lenders, the same predatory practices, the same inflation. Sure, we understand that he's a pig.
I'm not well-versed in what exactly happened there. I know something about 34 felonies. What was the bulk of
them? Let me give you an idea. We want a home loan. We go get a home loan. $300,000. We put a little money into it. Probably our own money, 10, 15 grand. We say the house is now worth $400,000. We get it inspected. Third-party inspector says, okay, $420,000. Well, great. Let's go get a mortgage, pull out some of our equity, and then go buy another house. Similar effects. Trump did that.
With business?
With a corporate building, which everyone does. There wasn't a problem. Nobody complained. Nobody started it. The state said that it was him falsifying documents, bloating the price of what he was selling or what he was trying to evaluate.
So they're charging him with inflation?
But yeah. He didn't set the price.
Right.
He didn't ask them to set the price. He didn't say that he demanded anything. There was no quid pro quo. The people in the bank said, we love doing business with him when they testified. Said, nobody's at fault here. Nobody lost money. We both had a business arrangement, set a price. Finality. Still went down.
So what's the Stormy Daniels is just a cherry on top?
Yeah.
Because you catch a charge on that one?
If my ex, the way I perceive it.
The way, my initial thought was, why didn't Clinton get that with Lewinsky then?
Because it's easier now with social media. If he was here now, oh, he'd get it.
When did Stormy Daniels happen?
2014 through 15, whatever.
Some odd years ago.
But he was definitely cheating on his wife. We understand that. I think they've already made it past that. I don't think at all nobody is saying that they've...
Right.
It was like some type of break. It was a break. It was a perfect break. With you. Any of that stuff.
We were on a break.
He wouldn't say like that. He would go, you know what a break is? I invented the break. I'm the best at the break. Like, but he... I just don't care. It's not his personal life that we're electing him for.
Right.
I personally don't care. It's that derangement syndrome everyone talks about. I just want the outcome. I want better world, better borders, better money. Papa John's. That's what I want. But it is interesting enough that more rhetoric saying that we got to lock him up. I'm not kidding around, Jack. It's no joke.
Like he's
no
a
joke.
Serial killer.
Yeah. But yet, there's only one person that they're trying to kill. And then the next day, if you haven't seen, I'm just going to put in Town Hall. How about that on YouTube? 2 hours.
Almost three.
There's no fucking way.
Said 258.
Holy shit, he did it. 3 fucking hours, Donald Trump. It, breaking news. 3 hour podcast. He's sitting. He's not walking around going.
That man's taking a fucking nap.
It's crazy. I don't, if I was 80 years old, put a fucking fork in me and get me in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's my hope at 81.
As soon as those election polls close, I'd be
fucking 3 hours. In a room with a pothead? I swear to God.
Well, he did one with Theo Vaughn.
If he does what Elon Musk did and lights up a joint,
the internet's going to be heard about that. I don't even smoke.
And it's just, I'll be so happy for him. I'm sorry. He'd probably lose some Christian voters. Couple of the other.
He smoked the devil's lettuce.
You know, I just wanted to find out because it's his first time. He swears up and down, no alcohol, no really? Cigarettes, no marijuana ever.
I could see him taking a classy glass of brandy.
His brother was an alcoholic when he was younger.
Yes, I do recall that now.
If you didn't know, I got a shave. Not a close one, but.
What about cigars? He even into cigars? Nothing?
No alcohol, no tobacco, no cigarettes. Or no alcohol, drugs, or cigarettes, yeah.
What a...
Tried it. I can't believe that we missed that, yeah. Then again, we've been playing Fortnite with our kids for the last 2 hours.
You've quoted General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
Grocery prices have gone up quite a bit in the last 4 years. Yeah. And some people blame former President Trump. Some people blame.
So there was a clip in the beginning of this, just to give you some context. You cannot ask questions.
This is a townhome. I want to research this fully and come back with an educated answer.
Before she was asked questions, the people are sitting down and they say, are we going to get a chance to ask questions? There's no lines here. These people are pre-picked.
With pre-questions.
Pre-questions, vetted questions. The lady running the place says, no, we already have vetted questions, vetted answers. And she slips and says, unfortunately, I hope that their questions are going to be what you're hoping to ask, and we'll have the answers in what she's going to answer. But that's it. It was good. And I'm sure Rudo can find it in one of the full of the town halls if he watches the 29 minutes or whatever.
Don't give a crap about our politics here, bro.
Rudo cares.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. He wants to live here.
You have 13 days to go. What do you say to those voters to convince them? Because some of them are in this room.
Sure. And I thank you all for taking the time to be here. And you could be doing a number of other things with your time. So this really is proof that we love our country. People are engaged, Anderson, and really want to talk about the issues. And so the issue that you raise, yes, I do believe that Donald Trump is unstable, increasingly unstable, and unfit to serve. And I don't necessarily think that everyone has heard what you and I have heard repeatedly, which is the people who know Donald Trump best, the people who worked with him in the White House, in the Situation Room, in the Oval Office, all Republicans, by the way, who served in his administration, his former chief of staff, his national security advisor, former secretaries of defense, and his vice president, have all called him unfit and dangerous. They have said explicitly he has contempt for the Constitution of the United States. They have said he should never again serve as president of the United States. We know that is why Mike Pence is not running with him again, why the job was empty. And then today we know that John Kelly,
Not that he fired any of these people before comments were made.
Right.
Not publicly fired. There has to be a few of these. I'm not sure about all of them. But a few of them I know to be ex-employees. And I'm not saying my ex-employees that were fired. Not let go, not mutually, got a better job. Because what better job is there in their position? Like, that's the top, yeah. That's the most highest.
Any shortcomings with any of those people.
No, they are the best at their job, and Donald Trump is the issue. So many of them.
Four-star Marine General, who is his longest-serving chief of staff.
Serving.
Gave an interview recently in the last 2 weeks of this election, talking about how dangerous Donald Trump is. And I think one has to think about
pitchfork.
Why would someone who served with him, who is not political, a four-star Marine general, why is he telling the American people now? And frankly, I think of it as he's just putting out a 911 call to the American people.
Along with his brand new book. Did you not know that he was also promoting a book that he wrote?
I didn't know.
Just so you know. Statements, book release. Go buy my book if you want to know more.
Wow. Convenient.
No, it's just Donald Trump.
Career people are not going to be there to hold him back. At least before, there were folks who we know what he would say, but they would restrain him. Imagine now.
They Donald fired
Trump
those people.
In the Oval Office.
She fired
in the Situation
the
Room.
She fired nobody.
He who has openly
they
admired
still have the same
dictators
people
said
day
he would
one
be a dictator on day one. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said he is a fascist to the core. So I think that when the American people reflect, especially those who are undecided, on who you should listen to. Don't take my word for it. In fact, go online and listen to John Kelly, his voice, talking about what he thinks of Donald Trump 2 weeks before the election. Because I think we all know, to your point, Anderson, it is close, but there are undecided voters who clearly, by being here, have an open mind, want to talk in a way that is about grounded in issues and fact. And when they hear these facts, I think it compels a lot of people to be concerned about the future of our country with Donald Trump at the lead.
You've quoted General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted. Again, look at their careers. These are not people, with the exception, I think, of only Mike Pence. These were not politicians. These are career people who have served in the highest roles in national security, who have served as generals in our military, who are highly respected.
As somebody who served under some of these generals, they are not highly respected. You don't get to the top being highly respected by anyone. So
yeah, it's not a game of respect.
It's not a game of respect. It's a game of who polishes the brass the best. It's exactly what it is. You kiss ass, you move up. They fall off, you move up. They kiss ass, you move up. You rub elbows, you move up. Then you burn somebody. It's just a heave and hoe and heave and hoe and heave and hoe. And I saw it and I was only in the enlisted side. It is bad. And you only get that way by getting your points, applying for your rank. Oh, you didn't get it. Oh, there's not a spot for you. Oh, so sorry. But you know, if you take my daughter out, you know, this
dumb shit.
Dumb shit. Dumb shit. Oh, you got stationed in the same base. We ran into each other at the same Safeway. You got a moment in the bathroom? Oh, well, you need a promotion. It happens. That is a one. I just don't see that. Nobody's done. And I'm not going to challenge every little thing I hear. But the suckers and losers statement especially is by someone he fired so close after that time. And it sounds like someone's very pissed off. And then they bounced back. Not even a year later, saying that there was more to the story. And it wasn't just suckers and losers.
Kamala had a speech somewhere talking about how voters the age of 18 to 24 are just stupid. They're mm-hmm. just stupid.
They're ill-informed, must be crazy, stupid. Barack Obama calling black voters that the brothers aren't turning out for the lady because she's a woman. They got to be sexist.
He demeans people who have taken an oath to sacrifice their life.
No. I didn't see that part. They didn't take an oath to sacrifice their life. They pledged their life against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's good. And it's a happenstance if you do give your life, but there is compensation for said life. It's not like, oh, okay. There's insurance.
Yeah, we're not suicide bombers over here.
Yeah, otherwise they would just put a fucking vest on us.
And I do believe, Anderson, that part of this is why, even just this week, I traveled this state and others with Liz Cheney, former Congress member who was a very high-ranking Republican. She has endorsed me. Her father, the former Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, is voting for me. Over 400 previous members of the administration, from Ronald Reagan to both Presidents Bush to Donald Trump even, have endorsed my candidacy. And the reason why among them is a legitimate fear based on Donald Trump's words and actions that he will not obey an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. He himself has said he would terminate the Constitution of the United States and wants to earn your vote to stand.
I really hope Anderson Cooper.
Correct.
Yeah.
Since he's fact-checking. Again, behind the seal of the President of the United States? No one standing behind the seal of the President of the United States of America should be in that position saying they want to terminate the Constitution of the United States.
This is Annalise Keene. She's from Philadelphia. She works as a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. She's registered with no party affiliation. She says she's a Democrat. She's leaning toward voting for you, but says she's yet to make her final decision in part because of the conflict in the Middle East. Annalise?
Thank you, and good evening, Madam Vice President.
Good evening.
My question is, as president, what would you do to ensure not another Palestinian dies due to bombs being funded by U.S. tax dollars?
So I will say, and I think this is to your point, far too many innocent Palestinian civilians have been killed. It's unconscionable. And we are now at a place where, with Sinwar's death, I do believe we have an opportunity to end this war. Bring the hostages home. Bring relief to the Palestinian people and work toward a two-state solution where Israel and the Palestinians in equal measure have security, where the Palestinian people have dignity, self-determination, and the safety that they so rightly deserve.
What do you say to voters who are thinking about supporting a third-party candidate or staying on the couch, not voting at all because of this issue?
Listen, I am not going to deny the strong feelings that people have. I don't know that anyone who has seen the images who would not have strong feelings about what has happened, much less those who have relatives who have died and been killed. And I know people and have talked with people. So I appreciate that. But I also do know that for many people who care about this issue, they also care about bringing down the price of groceries. They also,
you know, my cousin Ahmed in the center of Gaza was strung up and filleted like a fish. But salmon is now $27 a half a pound. That's the real travesty here.
I have so much empathy for your wallet.
Somebody call Kroger's. Let's hear the rest.
They also care about our democracy and not having a president of the United States who admires dictators.
Right. Donald Trump
and is a fascist. It. They also care about the fact that we need practical, common sense solutions from a leader who is willing to work across the aisle on behalf of the American people and not themselves. They want a president who cares about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body, understanding that we're not trying to change anyone's belief, but let's not have the government telling women what to do with their.
That's why the government isn't with Roe v. Wade.
She's been in the office for 3.5 years. If she really wanted to make a change, why aren't they?
She could. I know they could have just signed Roe v. Wade into like
right back into federal.
I know. Just like, here is my executive order.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Immediately, day one could have already been done.
It could have been day one or 340.
She could have walked off stage and did it right then and there, mm-hmm.
Or at least gotten Biden to do it. But he doesn't want his legacy to be tarnished with helping her. That's what they're gonna say. It's like, it's not my job. You need to win this fight on your own. I was forced out.
Hi, thank you for being here.
Thank you
for remembering we need to bring the hostages home.
Of course.
The rise of anti-Semitism and violence from anti-Semitism has risen greatly on college campuses and on our city streets in the last year. How would you combat this growing trend and protect our young adults?
Thank you, Beth. You are right, and I will say that we have seen a rise in anti-Semitism. It is something that we have to be honest about and we have to deal with. As Attorney General, I actually published a hate crimes report on a regular basis, and anti-Semitism was among the highest forms of hate in our country, and this was before October 7. And we know what we've seen since. Part of what we've got to do...
I want to hear the rest of the answer. But I also I didn't know that as a district attorney for the state of California.
She didn't make a report. She released the stats on it.
Yeah, she did that regularly. But all she did was take the numbers and have, well, she didn't do it. Her aides probably did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but she was also required to do that for transparency. Because all DAs do that.
California is really big on their transparency stuff, too.
But also, it's usually the FBI that gets those numbers because they collect those data, and then they make a report and then send it to local authorities.
And then it's just released to the community.
Talk with people so that they understand what are the tropes, what are the roots of what we are seeing, so that we can actually have people be more understanding. We need to have laws in place that make those who would commit crimes on behalf of anti-Semitism and hate, that they pay a serious consequence. We need to have the deterrence so that doesn't happen. We need to ensure that college students are safe in their school and feel safe to be able to go to class. But I'm going to tell you what doesn't help. Again, I invite you to listen and go online to listen to John Kelly, the former chief of staff of Donald Trump, who...
Why is this supposed to be a town hall for her?
Donald Trump said, why aren't my generals like those of Hitler's?
like Hitler, who has referred several times, we've heard the reports for years.
Do you believe Donald Trump is anti-Semitic?
I believe Donald Trump is a danger to the well-being and security of America.
He has said that he's casting himself as a protector of Israel. Do you believe you would be more pro-Israel than Donald Trump?
I believe that Donald Trump is dangerous. I believe that when you have a president of the United States who has said to his generals, who work for him because he is commander-in-chief, these conversations, I assume many of them took place in the Oval Office. And if the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, is saying to his generals, in essence, why can't you be more like Hitler's generals, Anderson? Come on. This is a serious, serious issue. And we know who he is. He admires dictators, sending love letters back and forth with Kim Jong-un. Talks about the president of Russia, and then most recently the reports are that in the height of COVID, when most Americans could not get their hands on a COVID test, Americans were dying by the hundreds a day. He secretly sent COVID tests to the president of Russia for his personal use. So again, this election in 13 days is presenting the American people with a very significant decision. And on the one side, on this issue of who is going to model what it means to use the bully pulpit of the president of the United States.
If I can find anything older than 3 days old about that Hitler comment.
The only Hitler comments I found was about Biden in 2021 when he had that State of the Union.
It's just very interesting.
If you don't remember, Rudo, look up the State of the Union from Biden. And all this was almost like a Nazi camp, Germany, 40s, you know.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
It would just look like, rah, 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 rah.
It's just always crazy to me because I've seen pictures of Trump dating women of color back in the day. Like when that was
She was fine, and I'm not into colored girls. I'm like, I've never been a chocolate man.
It was like, old enough Aaliyah? That it was. Not that one.
Oh, God, Aaliyah, Queen of the Damned?
He wasn't with that one.
I understand, but I'm saying me dating African-American woman.
Yeah. It was old. Yeah. Back in the day, probably back when it was still getting crazy eyes for having an interracial relationship.
I don't think it was that old, because it was right before Melania. Like, it was literally a girlfriend right before Melania.
I don't know. The pics I saw, they looked like it was before my life existed.
And probably early 90s. Ivana Trump is the first wife. Kara Young.
Yeah.
She is a model, African-American. Wow. Damn, I didn't know that. Yeah, 1997. He was looking good for an old man. I don't see him as a racist person, you know? Like, if anything, I'm a little racist that I didn't, you know, have more to do with, like, trying to get reparations in the hands of African-Americans. I should have given my business to Anthony. He deserves it. He's got children. He's got
don't
a Spanish...
piss me off right now.
We owe. The debt is due before all credit cards. If we don't do something, we're going to be smited. Let's finish this. It's about 15 more minutes.
Fan! the flames of hate, which Donald Trump does consistently. I'm going to tell you, we are an incredible country, and we love our country. Y'all wouldn't be here unless we love our country. And there are certain things where we've just got to come together.
I'd probably go there just to yell at her.
And realize that...
Not about loving my country.
Have a vetted question and then totally go off script, see what happens.
We do believe in the importance of healthy debate on real issues. But there are certain standards we've got to have. And, you know, another point that even John Kelly talked about, I believe, and many have, is January 6th. Yeah. Where you have the president of the United States
fucking repeating the word salad.
The will of the people in a free and fair election and unleashing a violent mob who attacked the United States Capitol. 140 law enforcement officers were attacked. Some were killed. And so I say that to say the American people deserve to have a president who encourages healthy debate, works across the aisle, not afraid of good ideas wherever they come from.
I'm pretty sure only one died, right?
Certain standards.
What are you talking about?
With the one died at a later time, but didn't die on the scene because the only person who died was one of the Sixers.
I don't know.
Yeah, let me know in the comments if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure only one person died, which was a woman got shot in the face by one of them, and then they attacked, and then one of the officers was beaten so bad that, you know, died later of his injuries. Oh, here we go.
Thank you for being here, Vice President Harris. So welcome to Delco.
Thank you.
Here in Delco, we pride ourselves on being authentic.
Yeah.
And much of what we have seen, much of what you've been saying with regard to issues like law and order and fracking reflect a more centrist view than what people are used to hearing from Kamala Harris. Leaving some voters to wonder about the authenticity of your current, more moderate positions. Can you talk a little bit about how your positions have shifted and why?
Sure, and thank you. So first of all, on fracking, I've been very clear. We kind of dispensed with this in 2020. I am not going to ban fracking. I did not as vice president. In fact, as vice president, I cast the tie-breaking vote that now has opened up more fracking leases. My value on the issue of what we need to do to invest in a clean energy.
I saw a fact checking about that. 2020, when she was running for president, she swore she was going to ban fracking. But she swore she was banning fracking.
Energy future has not changed. But frankly, I now have the experience and perspective of having been vice president for almost 4 years. I've traveled the country. I know that we can invest in a clean energy economy and still not ban fracking and still work toward what we need to do to create more jobs and create U.S.-based jobs in a way that will be globally competitive. On the issue of law and order, as you mentioned, I think there's just a whole lot of misinformation, to be honest with you. I have personally prosecuted very serious crime. It's how I started my career. I spent most of my career as a prosecutor, not in Washington, D.C. And as my first priority had and remains as a first priority to me, the safety of the American people. So that has not changed. And sadly, I think that there's a bit of misinformation, if not more than a bit. But I'm glad that you raised the subject so that I can address it. Let me just finish. Because I think the spirit of your question is really important, and I'm glad you raised it. Our country deserves to have a president of the United States who is not afraid of good ideas and does not stand on pride if a perspective needs to be informed by different points of view to build consensus and to have a common sense approach. I'm never going to shy away from good ideas, and I'm not going to feel the need to have pride associated with a position that I've taken when the important thing is to build consensus to fix problems. I believe in fixing problems. I love fixing problems. And so I pledge to you to be a president who not only works for all Americans, but works on getting stuff done. And that means compromise. And it doesn't mean compromising your values or your principles, but it does mean working to get stuff done. And well, I pledge to you I will do that.
2020, you were not talking about banning fracking, but...
No, Anderson, I pledge that I would not ban fracking.
Right, I know. You said you would not ban fracking. You know, you had said in a 2019 town hall, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. In 2017, you talked about Medicare for all. You talked about 2019, you raised a hand in debate about if border crossing should be decriminalized. Are all of those issues, which those are not your positions now, are all those issues that you're saying through consensus and getting stuff done, you have evolved on?
Well, no, let's take, for example, the issue of Medicare. My point has always been that access to health care should not just be a privilege of those who can afford it. It should be a right for all people. So that is why I have worked on doing what we have done to, one, allow Medicare to negotiate against the big pharmaceutical companies to bring down the cost of prescription medication.
It's never been a problem.
We've achieved that in terms of capping the cost of insulin for seniors at $35 a month, capping the cost of annual prescriptions at $2,000
a year for seniors.
Yeah, they already debunked that on another one, I believe.
Yeah, it's 8,000 is your troop.
If you didn't know, my wife works in billing.
For Medicare specifically?
For Medicare. And so she's not experienced. She's experienced. Shut the fuck up.
2,000, that'd be a dream.
And you wouldn't have any people going, let me talk to somebody.
Yeah, they are closing the donut hole for... starting next year, but that's been in the works with CMS for a decade. So that has nothing to do with the administration. I will give them the IRA for the insulins. They did do that, the $35 a month. Everything else she said, fake news.
Not just for our seniors. The work that I have done that has been about recognizing the importance of dealing with border security, that has never changed. As I said, I have prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. That I did for years before I ever ran in 2019.
I mean, you did raise your hand saying in a debate when asked if border crossing should be decriminalized, but obviously that is not your position.
I never intended, nor do I will I ever allow America to have a border that is not secure. I believe we need to deal with illegal immigration. There needs to be consequences, which is why part of my plan that I have outlined, and again, please go to KamalaHarris.com. Sorry to throw a website on you, but why not? And you will see that part of my plan includes what we need to do to actually do more as it relates to putting resources in, including increasing penalties for illegal crossings.
And just finally on fracking, you said you're clear you would not ban it as president.
No, I would not ban it as president.
Right, you're clear on that. Do you think it is bad for the environment, though?
I think that we have proven that we can invest in a clean energy economy, we can mitigate greenhouse gas emissions, we can work on and sustaining what we need to do to protect this beautiful earth of ours and not ban fracking.
Time is short, so I want to get some more voters in. Tanisha Spall from Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. She works as an education administration manager for the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Registered Democrat who says she's leaning towards supporting you, has yet to make her final decision. Tanisha, welcome.
Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, Madam Vice President, for joining us this evening.
Of course.
I appreciate that you did acknowledge that we are a country that is faced with problems and issues. Mm-hmm. With the Supreme Court being plagued with issues, would you be in favor of expanding the court to, say, 12, so each justice has only one circuit court other than Chief Justice to assist in making judgments more balanced?
Well, to your point, there is no question.
How many to your points?
All.
And that the American people increasingly are losing confidence in the Supreme Court. And in large part because of the behavior of certain members of that court and because of certain rulings, including the Dobbs decision and taking away a precedent that had been in place for 50 years, protecting a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. So I do believe that there should be some kind of reform of the court, and we can study what that actually looks like. But I do believe. But again, let's just, while you raise the point of the court, understand that, again, in 13 days, the American people will decide who is the next president of the United States. In 13 days, you will decide who is sitting in the Oval Office on January 20th. And on one hand, you have in Donald Trump someone who has increasingly proved himself to be unstable and who, as we have established and the people close to him have established, he is unfit to serve. Somebody who, on January 20th, you can be sure, will spend full time like we know, and we've seen the image mentally of him sitting in the dining room off of the Oval Office, watching for hours as people violently attack the Capitol. You can be sure, because he has said he would weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political...
Even if I was sitting in a room and saw hundreds of people...
Well, he left his...
What am I going to do?
Well, he already offered help. Well, that came out fucking 3 years after. 3 years after it came out that Nancy Pelosi was responsible. Because when there is no law and order, there is chaos. So even if Hillary was the president at that time, and she marched against Trump, said the fucking thing was stolen, like she did in 2016, because don't forget, she said it was stolen, the Russians hacked it. This is false, because he didn't win by the popular vote. He won by the electoral. So, hypothetically, if it was anybody else, they would have taken the fucking help. They would have put in the troops to be like, okay, just in case. Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be big. But he sat and he watched it, not for hours. He watched it for some, I don't think it was hours. It was some amount of time, and then went out and made a video and posted it to Twitter. And said, go home, we love you, we're sorry, stay safe. You know, even if they're going to steal this from us, if this is going to happen, there's other avenues, we'll handle it. Just be safe, don't harm anybody, go home peacefully and patriotically. Mm-hmm. And then Twitter banned him. Like, took it down instantly, banned him. Nobody has brought that video up in 4 fucking years.
Right.
Nobody even knows it exists. I mentioned it to Seth today. Nobody even knew it existed. And I played it for him. Because it's still on Twitter. And when they reinstated him,
mm-hmm. he's sitting outside. Hits the internet, it's always on there.
He's sitting outside in a rain jacket.
We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us. From me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election. But we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace. We have to have law and order. We have to...
I never saw the light of day. It was immediately deleted by Twitter.
Before Elon had it?
Yeah, because that wasn't until 2022 that he bought it.
Yeah.
I feel like these people hear one word from his mouth and go, that's it. There's no context. They don't have context. It's like there's no humor to some people, and you're like, are you fucking retarded? Like, you know? Like, you didn't get the joke?
Enemies domestic and abroad.
Yeah, there has to be. There's where there's light, there's darkness. Darkness, there's light. I feel like this woman is retarded. And I'm just saying it as clear as day. Kamala Harris, in my opinion, needs a fucking helmet. Because she can't spit this much stuff and assume that people are going to take her every word. Like...
People are. There's a group of people.
I know some diehard liberals that are like, you know what? This
is cuckoo.
This is kind of crazy.
They're unstable, unhinged, plotting his revenge, plotting his retribution, creating an enemies list. I'm going to tell you, my list will be a list of how I address and continue to address the issues that you all are raising this afternoon and evening. It will be a to-do list about how we can impact the American people and lift up the American people and address some of the challenges that we continue to face.
So. Vice President Kamala Harris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thanks for watching. Thanks to all the voters here. Be sure to join CNN on November 5th for Election Night in America right here on CNN. Jake Tapper and Aaron Burnett pick it up right now.
I didn't hear a fucking thing about small business, did you?
No.
There's no plan for small business. What? Do you think that she's a woman, so she's held to a different standard?
I think that always happens, whether we mean to or not.
If a man said that, acted that way?
acted like Kamala or said the words that she just said?
Said any of the words she just said. Acted the same way. Would you look at him differently than you were looking at him, her now?
Most women probably would. Personally, probably not.
I'd still call him retarded. If I ever am in a place where Kamala Harris is driving to or from post-election, if they're the president or not, I'm throwing a bike helmet.
That's a crime.
Why? Protect yourself at all times. Here's a bike helmet. Change her life. Maybe she feel unburdened by what has been and what can be. Could you imagine her wearing a bike helmet like Biden? But, you know, Biden falling off the bike that and all that.
That's a Matt Rife website.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Rife Life on the side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's even better. Yeah, that's even better. I'm just picturing it.
Mohawk.
John Kelly gave me all my info. I am against Trump. Vote Kamala Harris. Not a crook. Have you ever heard her cite scripture?
No, she said at that one rally, you're at the wrong rally.
Yeah. She's against Christian nationalists and Christian values. I was baptized a Christian, and I was still offended. I was like, really? Let me finish this. To me, a Christian and a Christian nationalist are the same thing.
I don't know what a Christian nationalist is. Or
Christian that values their country.
What's the problem?
Apparently they're fascist, racist, Nazis.
It was an older, dark-skinned woman, and she was going on about how she cannot stand Trump, right? Hates his guts. And she was like, but when Kamala said that, she was like, I can't vote for her. She said something like, I lived through Jim Crow, and that sucked. But I can survive that. I can't survive in hell.
No.
There's no way I can vote for her now.
She is anti-American. I'm surprised. Everything she speaks is like, she's a gritty, nasty lawyer. Just trying to get in your pockets.
Back to her prosecuting roots. Mm-hmm.
She's just a gritty, nasty lawyer, but willing to tell lies, trick, do whatever she can. She's me trying to sell you an iPhone. I will embellish, and this is the best thing. I had a lady in here today.
I think she's going to have a real hard time with outside of the coastal states because most of her career took place in California, in politics or law in some degree or another in California. And what flies there, the rest of the country don't really agree with. California gets the side eye from most other places. So I'm sure those traits, tricks, and tips have followed her, and the tools that got her here are not the tools that are going to get her further.
So what do you think about that woman winning the president of the United States election?
Terrifying.
No, she wins 100%. That's all you know about her.
God, we've already been struggling for the last several years. I guess what's four freaking more of garbage?
I say Puerto Rico.
It's still in America.
Yeah, but it's zero income tax.
Why are we there already? What the hell?
The kids. That's about it.
Bring them.
We know we can't do that.
Could.
No.
Why not? Doug. Okay, he can come too.
You could say that too, but there's a lot of things.
His dad was born and raised and grew up there first. I think he didn't come to like stateside until he was about eight.
Yeah, Spanish is his Puerto Rico. First language. Our neighbor could be Logan Paul. He lives there.
Oh, no, I'm moving back. I'll go to California before I live next to Logan Paul.
It's all the high
either
money.
One of them Paul brothers.
I bet she has, you know, properties out there.
Who?
Helmet Lady.
Oh.
I'm just going to fucking drop off a helmet. That's all I want to do. It's my goal in life now.
I'm going to be rabbit holing Puerto Rico, looking at the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. Definitely want to talk about how my day's been. I want to get this off my chest.
Not that crazy guy.
It's been a doozy. How many of you deal with crazy people that you have to fake and smile and cheer and support and give them all your energy? Like, I dumped a good 10 days of positivity in 6 hours today.
Damn.
Yeah. Every little bit. Like, I had it all for my kids because it was going to be Fortnite night.
Venom.
I can't recite Eminem because I hate him now. Especially when he dodged the... Like, you didn't even see his face endorsing Kamala Harris. Like, he was paid, blackmailed, or somebody had something inside him.
I am, and I'm not surprised, because he's written several songs about hating Donald Trump and drawing a line in the sand and blah, blah, blah.
So, he probably got the bag. I'm hoping he got the bag. I'm
sure.
Or somebody put, like, or somebody put a stick of plastique up his rectum at a Diddy party, and it's been sitting there waiting to go off.
Somebody got a bag from Kamala for being in an ad, turned around and donated it to Trump.
And this is no black power. That's not what I'm doing. I'm doing fight, fight, fight. That's my new thing. Just so you don't get offended. So I get to work today. Drove an hour and a half. Really not liking the day. Shaved. Got rid of all my facial hair so I can have like the neck beard / double chin going on. I was like, you know what, I'm going to handle my day. It's Friday. It's going to be one more day of fun and then Fortnite nightmares with the kids and buying a bunch of skins. And my kids had 10 Fortnite matches back-to-back that they won. I think it was 7 or 8, actually.
Something.
Either way, they went from 19 Crown Royales, or they got 19 Crown Royales and 13 Crown Royales or something. Whatever it is, it's like 22 matches straight to win. But they won a lot. A lot.
Yeah, they were tearing it up.
That's all I wanted to do today. Guy comes in right before close. Like 3:30-ish, we close at 5 because we don't like to work that much. I'm like, hey, yeah, we can get this done in about 30 minutes. It's a screen replacement. Hey, can you get the data off my old one? It's broken in the same way. Nothing else wrong. Cool, go grab it. By the time we're done, we'll get the data off the other one. Bada bing, bada boom. $400 is what you'll owe me. $129 plus $299, so $429. Talked about the check-in. Hey, it's going to be a bench fee of $49 if I can't do it, if there's anything else you're not disclosing. So I go to unlock his phone. He writes down the password. It's incorrect. The phone locks up. It says too many incorrect attempts. I'm like, oh, you must have forgot your passcode. Is it the right one? He's like, no, did you hack my phone? What? Excuse me? Like, it was the most sane conversation to, you hacked my phone. Are you fucking crazy? Like, that's legitimately all I could think. So it went so back-asswards. From, you hacked my phone, you're stealing my data, I've been through this before, this is the same thing that I went through last time, Verizon did this to me, you're trying to mess my life up, there's a neighbor that's hated me for so long. Do you know my neighbor? All of that in 45 minutes trying to get this gentleman his data that cannot be hooked to Wi-Fi because he doesn't trust it, that cannot be transferred in any way because he doesn't trust it, cannot be outside of his sight. He doesn't trust us. And I'm like, dude, you want my social security number? I was trying. I was like, here, you want to hold my ID? You want the key to my car? Let me finish. Huh?
I said, your car don't even have a key, bro.
It does. It's a card. It's right behind my ID. It's a Tesla.
I believed it to be a car key.
It says Tesla. And it has a fucking picture of a car on the back. The point being, I offered every resolution. I was like, you can stand here, watch us. I'll walk you through it. It's a big ticket, and it's 99% profit. I told him this. I was like, this is one of the bigger tickets that we like to do. We don't mind going through some shit. We're here to help you because it's a lot of money to make for very little work that we're very good at. And I'm very transparent with my customers like that. I don't think he liked it, though. Once all was said and done, I've never worked for an hour and a half for someone with them in my face. Conversation in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were right here. He knows about from like everything I was working on that day, how I was feeling, Fortnite mirrors, my kids, chatting, doing everything.
Shit to talk about.
All even my ex-girlfriend, who I had to sue to get my data and all my stuff and jewelry, everything. Because I had to deal with this crazy fucking wild-eyed guy about he being mentally unstable, that his phone got, number got changed. Episode. Well, I think his life is manic. So I felt for him. I was like, hey, man, I just want your money. That's it. I kept telling him that. I was like, lucky that you pay me to do it. I'm getting angry and sweaty just thinking about this. Because at very few times in the conversation, I wanted to slap him across the face. Because it was like he forgot everything we talked about and reverted to never met me before. So then I was like, oh, he's just got to be retarded, or maybe it's dementia. I really thought he had a problem mentally. I'm more angry now than I was earlier. He turns to me and says, you told me $100. What the fuck? What the fuck? Because at this point, I had already sold him a case and a screen protector that was $59.99. Mm-hmm. For the new phone that I had already fixed that was $299. After not getting the data because he wouldn't let me plug it into the computer on the other phone that I charged him $49.97 for, a grand total of $300 and some odd. Or $400 and some odd. And I'm just, I was kerfuffled and thinking he was joking until he demanded to see my price sheet and where I got my parts from. I was like,
that's crazy.
It was batshit. Because he has the phones in his hands, and I'm thinking I'm going to jump on him. Like, make a run for it. See what happens. I just worked for an hour and a half. It's already 25 minutes past closing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a key, so Seth stayed behind. So Seth could lock the front door.
How are you getting in tomorrow?
I grabbed my key, which is here. So at this point, I'm like, hey, PayPal, Zelle, Venmo. I will take a cashier's check. You can go to the ATM across the road. You can call or phone a friend, a loved one. Get somebody to pay me.
Any form of payment.
Any form of payment. I will take pennies. We need to leave. Crazy customer finally says he's going to set up his Zelle. Another 10 minutes goes by. He can't get Plaid to work. He doesn't know his password now. So I have to re-tear down the secondary phone we did the data recovery from and let him take pictures on. He didn't grab the passwords. Out of all that pictures and getting into the phone and doing one by one.
None of his logins.
None of his logins. So I was like, Seth, can you please do the passwords for me? Just, okay. It's now 5:40. I was like, everything's good. You got money issues. What's going on? And I hit a nerve, something. I don't know. Because then it was, he forgot again how much he was supposed to pay me. It's on the iPad, facing him, written down on the invoice that he signed. The price sheet as well as next to it. And I was like, A plus B, C. That's it. I've got to leave. I told you already my plans for the night. I was supposed to be home in 45 minutes because it's now 5:45. It takes me an hour and 20. If I stop for a coffee, hour and 30. To get home to do four nightmares. You're not fucking that up for me. So I'm going to hang on to these phones, and you can come back tomorrow. Oh, no, let me try one more passcode. Bing, bing, bing. Oh, you got Venmo? That was the first one I offered.
Right.
And then we got paid.
Immediately.
So then I still had to reassemble his fucking phone. He didn't want to leave it. And he finally, after all that, took a seat.
You're like, now you need to get the fuck up.
Get out. Well, then he wanted to tell me about his life. And I was like, bud, anytime, just come by and we'll have a chat. You're anything you want to fucking tell me, I will be here with open arms, but closed fists. If I don't get my fucking payment up front from this guy the next time, I'm just going to send him home.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours of hell over the most minuscule thing that we're not even involved in. He did something 2 months ago at Verizon, changed his phone number, then forgot his passcode to his iCloud, so had to change all his passcodes that were authenticated from the iCloud. I explained this to him, and he still doesn't believe that it was his fault. It had to be my neighbor. The police that I called on the neighbor said that it was possible the neighbor hacked my Apple iPhone. That's why I smashed that iPhone. What? Okay, have a nice day. Last thing he said to me. So how many people have to deal with bad shit people on a Friday night that you're trying to go home?
Most people in retail and service.
This is why we close early. And somehow, on days I plan things to be done, I never get to leave early.
Man plans, God laughs.
This is not funny. You don't understand. If you were there, you would have been holding me back like 20 minutes in. Seth, at a certain point, had to step in so I could take off for a cigarette. And you know, when I told you this earlier, that it was very funny that this man was telling me and lecturing me on why I shouldn't have a cigarette, mm-hmm. why I should eat better, why should it be any of your fucking That's business?
Fair. You're the reason people drink and do drugs. Get yeah. out of my face.
You're the reason I'm going to go to fucking the sushi bar tonight, grab some sake and a couple of rolls. Thank you. It's on you. But every 2 cents came after some beg or plead for his bad situation he caused himself. And it was like, oh, please help me, help me, help me, help me. But like, hey, you ever thought about losing fucking weight? What? Like, it was so
out of left field.
Who the fuck are you? Where's the guy who was in here not even 2 seconds ago? Like, it was half his brain is turned into one person. The other half, like, it's there. But it's like, oh, let me talk. Oh, I didn't get that price.
Different personalities.
Yeah, like different personalities. I was going off. So it was a bad day in retail. Very bad day. Made a lot of money. Bad day. Came home, had a fantastic night. But boy, it was a bad day. Still voting for Trump, though. Absolutely. It's been kind of crazy. Dog's trying to kick over the monitor.
In his sleep.
No, he's wide awake. He's like, he winks, opens, hits it. Then he closes his eyes, reaches out, opens, hits it, wants attention. He is like a bad kitty cat. He's a bad kitty cat.
He is.
Yeah.
Terrible cat.
Pretty much. Now I have to go watch the Donald Trump and Joe Rogan podcast.
I need to eat chocolate.
Like, my brain cells have been molested. I talk to people and hype things up and, like, you know, get them feeling for whatever I'm selling them. This guy got me so low every single time, feeling like, oh, if that happened to me, it'd be fucking horrible. And then just tried to stab me.
Bipolar manic depressive. There we go.
Probably. I don't know. I have no idea what your fucking problem is, except
not my problem.
It's not my problem, and it made me want to stab him.
Yeah.
And I usually don't hate my customers that much. Linda pisses me off, but like I said, her financial obligations to me make me more than happy to deal with her bullshit.
Yeah.
I love Linda.
Lovely Linda.
Lovely. Until the next time she breaks something, and I'm going to be like, well, what the fuck?
You're driving me crazy, lady.
You're driving. Rats.
Mm. Crazy. I was crazy once.
So I just want to say thanks for all the crazy people that I get to talk about. I'm going to do it with or without this job. I don't really care. If you don't like it, comment below. We appreciate you. Like, comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Share it with anyone you deem necessary. If YouTube cancels this, try and keep it alive. Save it. Download it. Just so you know that Kamala Harris is really like the lizard person that everyone assumes her to be. It's either that or she was dropped on her head in wherever as a baby. I don't know. I wasn't there, but a helmet is on her Christmas list. A special needs helmet that says, what is that? Rife?
Rife life.
Rife life. You know, throwing up gang signs. Stay frosty.
Life can be super happy, life can be super sad. I'm trying super hard to separate the good and bad. I go back to my future just to get to my past. But knowing me, my DeLorean will probably